Hello and welcome to All Remote Podcast.
My name is Ilana.
And my name is Anya.
And we are your hosts.
All Remote Podcast aims to give space for all remote advocates to share ideas and insights into the future of work.
We believe the future of work should create equal opportunities for everyone, regardless of their location, gender, or any other category.
Enjoy. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of All Remote Podcast. Today, I'm very excited to welcome Daniel Zina, an HR International Communications Consultant, a co-founder of Noa Mobility, a podcast host, and so much more. Daniel, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Anya.
Yeah, it's a pleasure having you. I am very much looking forward to this conversation. But before that, I said so much more and I teased the audience, our listeners. Because just to bring a bit of background, when we had the pre-call, we were discussing the angles for the podcast. And Daniel asked a very funny question, or to me, it was funny. He asked, who do you want me to be on the podcast? Because he has been doing so many things in his career. So Daniel, why don't you give us an overview? Who is Daniel Zina?
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for giving me the opportunity, Anya. I mean, first of all, I would say I'm a father of three kids. I'm living here in the wonderful Berlin, in the western part. And what am I doing for living? I'm a consultant. I'm specialized in HR International consultancy and also in communications. So I run a management consultancy or HR management consultancy firm plus a communications agency. So that's what I do. And besides that, I'm very much interested in bringing society forward. So be it the global mindset, so like open thinking, tolerance, diversity, international diversity. So that's really something what I'm really interested in, or entrepreneurial spirit. Mm-hmm. So moving a society like the German society from an employee-centric thinking towards self-controlled thinking and coming up with some entrepreneurial spirit. So that's what I do. And besides that, again, I think the line going through my career is really this topic of global mobility or international human resources. So that's in a nutshell what I do.
Nice. I love that. Sounds very exciting. So let's touch on the people mobility. That's a fresh term, something we don't hear that often. So I would love to give you the chance to explain what that means.
Yes. So I think the standard terminology is global mobility. So I think this term has evolved over the last, let's say, 20 years. Prior to that, it used to be called expatriate management, or people going on an assignment. And expatriates and assignees is usually corporate environment, so or diplomatic environment. So people moving from one country to another on behalf of an entity or brand or company. And I think what I see now is this individualization. And like the rise of gig economy, for example, it's getting more and more flexible and independent. Students are moving from one country to another, or like freelancers or digital nomads. Now after COVID, you know, everything playing together with the digitization, everything is possible. Everyone can be wherever he or she wants to be. And so I think this, like, people moving around is not just corporates requiring it, or it's not just people being asked by someone to move, but it's their own intention. And this is why I would like to actually shape this new terminology, like as an evolution from global mobility towards people mobility, which really covers a much bigger, let's say, audience or target group who moves from one place to another. And that's another differentiator. So it's global mobility usually describes international moves, but people mobility, I mean, I can move from Berlin to Munich if I want, and that's still within Germany. So it's a much bigger term, I would say.
Yeah, sounds about right. And how does Noa Mobility contribute to that new mindset, and how is it defining the new trend of people mobility?
Yeah, so Noa Mobility is actually, I mean, it comes from the traditional relocation world. So relocation usually is done on a corporate level, as I said, expatriates being moved from one country to another, and Noa Mobility is taking this to the next level. So it's a tech startup. It's an HR slash legal tech startup. And the focus is really the human being who needs or wants to be transferred. Mm-hmm. So we are, again, we're not just covering the B2B market, which means we are dealing with the HR department and taking care of expatriates, but we also offer our services to normal people like students or digital nomads or freelancers who want to move or who want to change their place to be. So we're also moving into the lifestyle mm-hmm. market. And this, again, I think really fits to the term people mobility. So you don't just move a certain group of people, but you move everyone from everywhere to everywhere. So that's where we fit in. And we have a technology solution.
Yes. Wonderful. It sounds like a great one-stop shop to have you support and handle the relocation, which can be quite stressful, speaking from experience.
Exactly.
trying to manage everything and, you know, navigate paperwork and all the legal things on top of yes. logistical things. It can be a lot to handle. So it's great that companies like that exist. Let's dive even deeper into people mobility. We know that the pandemic has caused a lot of things to shift and change. So we've kind of been stuck for a year, but now I think things are starting to move forward again. But are there any trends or spikes that you have identified recently around people mobility? What's happening right now?
So I think it's again, many perspectives. So from a corporate perspective, given the pandemic, the pandemic forced HR departments and corporates to think differently. So how to deal with my employees or my staff in terms of sourcing. So now given the digitization and that remote work is kind of accepted now, companies utilize on international sourcing possibilities. So, if I look at a German company, German Mittelstand, okay, they have an office, I don't know, here, or the headquarters is in Germany, and they have 2-3 other countries where they operate in. But they have a talent somewhere. They need a very specific talent, knowledge worker. And this person is based in, I don't know, in the US. But in the US, there is no legal entity of this company. So, It's now possible that you tap in like other countries' people markets, and these guys can stay there if they want, but still work compliantly and cost efficiently for the Germany-based Mittelstand company. So, and then there's the other benefit in this example the company could have is like this German Mittelstand company is operating in Germany, and they have, let's say it's a startup, a Germany-based startup, and they have many young people, very diverse talent working for them here in Germany. But they want to work somewhere else. It's, of course, Germany, sometimes it's rainy and I don't know, too many processes and red tape. And that's also what we really see, like it's really happening. People want to move, for example, to Portugal or Spain, but the company, the startup, doesn't have a legal entity there. What to do? And there are solutions like what Deal, for example, offers, where you can put these willing to move people on a local payroll. So I think that's really cool. And then the third one, and this is really the people perspective. It's not just what the corporates want, but it's what they want. So they want to move maybe from the big hubs somewhere in the countryside to another mm-hmm. country. And I think that's now all possible because of the experience that the whole society made with this remote work, digitization. So you can collaborate virtually. I'm not saying that's the perfect solution, but and the only solution, but it is possible. And you can move if you want, to another country, and you can take your family if your family setup allows it. So I think that's really what the pandemic has brought to us: flexibility, new thinking, and creative like ideas on how to set up internationally decentralized operating companies.
Yeah, exactly. There are a lot of benefits and a lot of ways in which you can boost your company grows, basically, with international talent. And I mean, you mentioned a few things, and mostly people think of being able to work remotely as a perk, individual perk, right? Like, oh yes, I can relocate to Portugal, enjoy the beaches while I'm working for another company. But I think there are many, many more benefits for a company. So I want to see what you think about that. What's your take on it? What are the few big ones?
Yes, I think if you, as a company, if you provide this flexibility and these different type of solutions, I think it contributes to the employee happiness and the employee experience, a positive employee experience. So this is something where you can win and retain talent. Depending on the company you're running and which industry you're in, I think that's key. Nowadays, find the right talent, getting it on the payroll and have it working for you, and then have it working for you for a longer period of time. So that's the retention piece. So that's one thing. And the second one is, I'm a big believer and supporter of global mindset and international and global collaboration. I think with these new possibilities, it helps companies, if they're willing and if they're ready, to implement or endorse like diversity or a diverse workforce, like in terms of international diverse mm-hmm. workforce. And you can have these cross-cultural teams put together in one room, in one virtual room. And or if you move them, I mean, it's still virtual stuff is possible, remote is possible, but I'm also believing in that people need to meet each other personally. So you still need to sometimes relocate them or bring them together. But with that, I think you can really boost, I mean, and that's proven, like academic research has shown it, the more diverse the team, the more creativity and innovation power you can create. And the more productive you get and the more profits you make at some stage, I think that's another big benefit, fueling international diversity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in practical terms, how can diversity help a company? Like, how can an international team with different backgrounds contribute to a company?
I think you bring together different behaviors, the different experience, different knowledge. That these are the three factors you bring together. So it's not just the German team, which has the same kind of cultural experience and knowledge, but you bring different ages, different gender, different experience, different culture. You bring them together. And so you have, with this diverse pool of people, I think you increase chances to come to a new idea. And so to be creative, and to put the creativity on a higher level into innovation. So I think that's the end goal, so to say, of setting up a diverse international workforce.
Yeah, it sounds about right. But I also think, and I think you'll agree with me, that it takes a bit of effort from HR department or management to make it happen, because you cannot just throw people in a room, in a virtual room, and say, go.
Exactly.
Come up with ideas. Use your backgrounds and diversity to come up with ideas.
Yes.
I'm ready.
Yes.
So, and you actually wrote a book that touches upon that, if I'm not mistaken, the Global Mobility Profession, where you spoke about the skills that HR professionals need for providing a good employee experience. So I would love if you can give us a sneak peek or digest of that.
Yeah. So, I mean, this book was written back in 2014-15, so like really back in the times, like from nowadays perspective, this is ages ago. And at that time, what I noticed is there's an HR department, but when it comes to international cases or international moves of people, they came to their limits in terms of cultural understanding. This is one thing. But also, my background is more compliance. So as a banker and tax guy. They came really to their limitations on what does it mean if you move one person from one country to another in terms of social security, tax, payroll obligations, immigration, all this stuff. So I thought, it needs a specific education or a specific profession. I also launched together with a German university the Global Mobility and Agility certificate course. So we touched on that, like really upskilling mainly HR people, but also relocation people on corporate, international, strategic, and also compliance relevant topics. Mm-hmm. And now, as I said, I would like to elevate global mobility to people mobility. I'm not sure where it goes with this specific global mobility profession. I think the trend will be that HR in general will need to pick up speed in train themselves. What are the possibilities in entertaining an international workforce? What are the pitfalls also on an operational level you need to deal with? Even though if you work remotely in another country, it has corporate tax and individual tax and social security implications. So that's really, this is something which is really heavy. So they need to be upskilled in that. And the trend which came actually before COVID, this whole agility and different mindset, how to get this international mindset or global thinking or this collaboration approach into the heads of your people. I think this is what HR/global mobility will need to focus on in the next month and years, just to be a change enabler on an international level. And get the right spirit into your people. I think that's what it needs. Maybe another book is required, and discussing like all these different influencing parts of the game. Yeah,
you heard it here first. Yeah, there was this an exclusive announcement that another book is coming.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, need some support on that. It's just a bit time consuming. Yeah,
that is true. If there is anything that we can help with, if there is any listener that feels compelled to help out, make sure to reach out to Daniel and yes, get the ball rolling. Amazing. So I mean, one thing that I noticed, we mentioned a lot during our conversation, you know, like HR professionals and HR managers, but there are companies that don't have a dedicated HR department, right? So, yep. And all these things still need to happen, right? Remote work is not exclusive to bigger companies. It's not exclusive to companies that have legal and HR departments. So it can seem a bit intimidating for startups or smaller companies that are just kicking off to tap into international hiring and this international mindset. Is there anything that you see, you know, could be potentially done, or is there anything that they should focus on or start with?
Yeah, so I mean, what I see that now you mentioned the startups. What I see is usually they start with one man show or one woman show in HR. And over the different funding rounds, HR doesn't necessarily grow in the with the same speed. So the HR person is getting really, really busy. And I want to say, I mean, it's a must to me for any company to have an HR department, or someone taking care of people. I think company culture is a really big thing. It's not without reason that the startups call their HR department people and culture. So getting the right culture into your company is one thing. And for this, I think you need a dedicated person in-house. When it comes to operational activities, operational requirements, I think especially startup leaders, like on HR, they need to realize, this is very much complex and it needs quite a lot of manpower. But there's also a lot of innovation out there, like this employee of record, which has now come to light due to COVID. I think this is something startups should at least review. Possibilities and how to use this concept. So, being part of a startup myself, I know the venture capitalists and the investors, they want speed in international growth. And I guess this new setup with employer of record is really a good solution. It can help in the interim or on short notice to develop in different countries, high speed, and get the talent on board locally. When it comes to the culture, which I still regard very much important and the main job of HR, I think this is something which also needs to be monitored. So what is all, that there needs to be a plan. I think employers of record, they're really good in getting the international administration done. So get the payroll done, make the legal, the paperwork, be compliant, be kind of cost efficient, depending on the business case you build around that. But when it comes, and that's a discussion I had recently quite often, when it comes to then how do you connect this international workforce who onboarded not in the home country, but somewhere in this world, how do you make them feel connected to the company? It's not, and sorry, that's not very stigma, yeah, but it's not all IT nerds who work from everywhere in the world. I think this employer of record approach is made for kind of every knowledge worker you have, or people not working at the assembly line. So it's something which companies would need to consider. Yes, you find a compliant and cost-efficient solution to gain talent, put them on the payroll wherever in this world. But how do you build a team? How do you make these people feeling they belong to the corporation, to the real corporate, like to their employing company? And what is the culture? What is this culture? I mean, if I look at these traditional German companies, they have developed a company culture over time. If I look at startups, usually they come with this culture, yeah, we are great, and yeah, we are hanging around and we have beers and we are kind of a family. I'm not necessarily supporting this we are a family approach, but this is how they behave. And now a new layer comes into the game. You have a decentralized workforce. You're 100% remote. Some companies are 100% remote. You cannot touch. You cannot have a real coffee. How do you bring these people together? I think that's the main challenge. But once HR, for example, finds a solution here, I think the combination of all that could work out pretty well.
It can. I mean, speaking from experience, it can. We are fully remote. We have a lot of people that haven't seen each other ever and have been working together for a year or so. I mean, the times are a bit challenging right now when it comes to travel. But what we do or what we plan on doing is introducing quarterly or bi-yearly retreats, because I also think it's essential. It's not a good thing to have. It's essential to have people in one room to connect, chat, see how tall they actually are.
Yep. Because exactly. How they look like when they stand and not just sit in front of
what kind of shoes they're wearing, you know.
True.
All these things that you don't see when you're just looking at one third of a person, right? Like behind a screen. So I think that's really important. And I think that the connections there truly happen and the work just gets done faster. Communication is better. Less confusion or misunderstandings happen because you get to truly experience the person one-on-one. So although I'm the biggest advocate for remote working, that does not mean that I think it's irrelevant to see people face-to-face. Yeah. It's not like you really have to. But team culture is definitely something that a lot of people talk about. But also what I find really funny is that every person has their own definition of what team culture is. You know, to some, it's this like fluffy thing that you do, which, you know, like does not do anything and you're just having fun. And as you mentioned, having beer, and that's, you know, that's our culture. But I think it's much more complex than that. And I know there are so many people who are really experts in the field and who have written a lot of books and a lot of publications around that to really put in this like diversity into team dynamic and, you know, how all of that works. So how do you define team culture? Let me ask you that.
I mean, you just mentioned everyone defines it like him or herself like differently. And I think that's the art. That's actually the job of human resources department to, as you said, get the right experts into the game, coordinate and orchestrate the different opinions, feelings, views of your workforce. And then also connect it, of course, to your company product or company strategy and make everyone believe in the success and in the sustainability and the right thing to do when you do your daily work. Yeah, so this company culture, I mean, shared values on a global scale, that's one thing. but also maybe keep the spirit of a local adaptation. I mean, if you have a team which consists out of like Indians, Australians, Americans, Venezuelans, Israelis, Germans, and Brits, that's quite diverse. And I mean, personally, I love it. You know, the more diverse, the more I like it. But I think it could also be sometimes challenging in collaboration or interaction. So, but this is where the cultural awareness stuff comes into the game. And it's, again, in my view, the job of the HR department to keep all this monitor all that or on the radar, and together with senior leadership, define the way where to go, who we want to be as a corporation with our great individuals who sit wherever in this world.
Yeah, definitely. Yes, but you raised an important point. It's also senior leadership that should be involved in the process. So lots of things to think about and lots of ideas to come up with. But the question that I like to ask in the end is, how do you see the future of work?
Oh, that's a big question. Future of work. Again, I'm a strong believer in independent work or self-directed work by individuals. So, I mean, that goes in line with what I would like to achieve, bring people away from the only employee thinking towards taking some risks, see the opportunity, trying to realize their own business ideas, visions, and dreams. So future of work, I think it will be, I think we are moving towards intrapreneur approaches. So you can already see it, like you have the big corporates who link up with startups, or at least they want to get the startup spirit into their corporate culture. So they create either startup spin-offs, or they have this internal startup accelerator where they provide their people with an opportunity to show their entrepreneurial skills in a safe and secure environment, which is called organization. So I think future of work means to me, the bigger corporates or the classic corporates, they will further work on the mindset of their people more towards entrepreneurial spirit, independence, enablement. So that's one thing. There will, especially in Germany with the corporates, there will be a massive requirement for upskilling, like qualification, bringing people who work 20 years in one company and keep or continue working in one company for the next 20 years. They need to change their expertise or adapt to new requirements in the market. And as I said earlier, I think what we see in the US, this whole gig economy or this freelance movement, like independent contractors, individual people, freelancers, I think this will increase. Digital nomads, as I mentioned. Guys, like, which goes more into the lifestyle again, where people just take their own way and bring it on the road and sell themselves or their services. So I think that will happen. And I think organizations will, and they already do, need to integrate this new type of workforce into their standard organization. So you will have more external freelancers working hand in hand with internal staff. So that's one thing. And this whole thing of work anywhere, like remote work, digitization, flexibility, the COVID impact, I think this will continue. I think we will go into and that's also what studies show and what surveys show, we will go into a hybrid model where people work, like, I don't know, 2 to 3 days a week at home and 2 to 3 days a week in the actual workplace. Mm-hmm. Because you still need, I mean, you want to have your flexibility, you want to combine your work life, but at the same time, you want to socialize physically with people of your company. So that's why I think this hybrid model will come into the game. And I think we will see an increase of decentralized, internationally set up organizations due to the remote work opportunities we have. And I think this means people need to get more and more into the whole digitization stuff. Like, how do I collaborate online? I mean, societies have done it now. Like, they had to because of COVID, because they had to stay at home. But I think there will be more focus on that. how to collaborate virtually, how to collaborate cross-border. This will also come. And I think that's also something from a standard HR perspective scene, I think the working hours will go down. Mm-hmm. Once people understand that working from home 8 hours is not equal working in an office for 8 hours. I'm a strong believer that if you work from home, you get the 8 hours job in the office done within 6 hours. Yeah. That's at least what I tell my wife, because you're much more focused. And so this is why I think there will be more focused work. It will be to a big extent, it will be done remotely, but there will be more free time. But that's just a guessing what's going
to
happen.
We'll have to see.
Yes, exactly. But that's, I think that's what I see. The gig economy, like gig workforce, more freelancers, then more decentralized organizations, more enablement through technology, like collaboration enablement. And if we get it right, and this is again a task of the HR department, I think a better work-life balance.
We'll live to see what the future holds.
Yes.
Daniel, thank you so much for joining us today. It was a pleasure talking to you. I learned a lot. I hope our listeners did as well. And looking forward to see the future of work.
Thank you. And thanks again for having me in your podcast, Anya.
And that's a wrap for this episode of All Remote Podcast. I hope you enjoyed listening to it. If you did, please share it with a friend and subscribe so you don't miss any other episode. Bye.